Judge?
Well, I've got my hearing up here, I'm all right. I'm really pleased to be here this morning, really pleased. Now, none of you thought I'd say that because I also get very nervous about being up here. But I am pleased because what started off about a month ago now, the Lord speaking to me about something, I took very personally, it was only for me, and I became convinced by the enemy, really, that it only affected me. No one else ever has this trouble, only me, and so he isolates us and makes us feel vulnerable. But then, after a few days, God started making it plain to me that one day it would need sharing. And then, a few days later, I got the call to speak today. So it's wonderful when God guides us that way. It all started about 4 weeks ago, and we can blame Michael for this, because if you was here about four Sundays ago, Michael led the morning worship, the morning service, and prior to the worship time, he, rather than going straight into the music, he just asked us a question, which, if I get the words right, I'm sure I remember him saying, do we want to go deeper into the things of God? That's what Michael was asking us. And rather than going into the song, we sat very quietly for a few minutes just to contemplate and to think about what Michael had brought. That for me was very powerful. I think there's an awful lot of power in quietness. I know for myself that because I'm able to, and I know a lot of people aren't, but I'm able to have time every morning by myself in quietness. And there's a lot of power, it opens up communication with God, it focuses our mind. And so that quietness really spoke to me that day, and I was really grateful to Michael. I think we spoke afterwards about a few things, didn't we? Then during that week, the Lord started speaking to me about myself particularly, but other people, how burdened we get with things. We carry things that we shouldn't be carrying. And that went through that week. And the Sunday after, Susan was leading the service here, and she showed us a picture on the screen of Sherpas carrying huge loads, and she said to us that they never take those loads off their backs, that they carry them all through their journey. They don't take them off to sleep or anything, they just stay on their backs all the time. And she felt that God wants us to lay down things we don't need to carry. And that really hit home with me, because I am the world's worst for picking up things I shouldn't pick up. I don't mean literally, I mean taking on things that I'm not responsible for. It's really something that I have always struggled with, and I still do, I have to say. So much so that in recent weeks, the Lord has spoken to me about this, and he said to me, you do not have to pick up everything, you only have to pick up what I ask you to carry. And that gave me a lot of freedom, because if the Lord doesn't ask me to do it, I can walk away clear conscience. It's not my responsibility anymore. And to impress that upon me even more, I've just yesterday finished reading a book by R.T. Kendall. Now, my sister bought me this, so I think she's trying to tell me something, I don't know. But it's about, as it says, The Thorn in the Flesh. It's a really good book, I can recommend it. But part of that in there is about picking up on personality problems, about things, we're all different, we've all got personality problems. And in one chapter, it talks about a strict person. Now, those who know me well, and those on council will recognise this. The quote says, such people, a strict person, such people require everybody to come up to their standard. If he sees something wrong, he feels he must step in, because nobody else is going to notice it if he doesn't. A strict person goes in with his sleeves rolled up, everything with him is either black or white. And that really hit home, I have to say. I'm just so glad that God hasn't finished with me yet. I'm still a work in progress, as we all are. So from those 2 weeks, I started to think how easily we can be given things to carry that we don't need to be carrying, burdens that we carry. Things are sent into our life, people and situations, which really challenge us, and they challenge our faith. And if we don't face it in the right way, these difficulties, then we will never change. And I think God sends them to us to teach us, to change us. We all go through times when our faith is tested and our focus is distracted. It's so easy to get distracted away from the life that God wants us to live. And so, just for a few minutes, I want to just consider three things with you. First of all, it's the same question that Michael asked us. Do we want to go deeper into the things with God? I actually put on my notes, Michael says, do we want to go deeper in our relationship with him? But I don't think I meant that. It's actually with God. Secondly, are we prepared to pay the cost of doing that? And third, what are we prepared to do about it? God's plan has always been for us, I'm telling you things you know, God's plan has always been for us to spend heaven with him. The song says he didn't want heaven without us. And we know, because we know, that heaven is prepared for us. There's a place for each in heaven if we are the Lord's. And we know that. But he also wants us to live an abundant life here, to walk with him through the world, carrying out his kingdom purposes. When we first become Christians, we go through a period of elation and joy because of what's happened to us. It's amazing. We've gone from darkness to light. We've gone from captivity to freedom. We know that, so we're elated. But daily life crashes in. And we then find ourselves being attacked more than we've ever been. Because once Satan knows we're on the Lord's side, he then focuses on us and attacks us even more, with more intensity. Life can get so full of things which start out innocently enough, good things, but they start taking up so much time, so much energy, that we actually stop doing the things we know we ought to be doing. We can get distracted by good things that take our focus off of the best things. Now obviously we have to be realistic. We live in the real world. We have to work, we have family responsibilities, perhaps church responsibilities. We are not called to shut ourselves off from the world. And I don't want to stand here and try and list things that may be wrong with our lives. Because if you've got issues in your life that are stopping you walking close to God, then you know about them anyway, as I know about mine. But do we have an appetite for change? And do we really want to go deeper into the things of God? And are we prepared to do something about it? To some people, activities that we take part in will affect them absolutely not at all. Others, for other people, there are real problems because we're all different. I just said about family responsibilities, and I was talking to someone yesterday, and he was saying that when he has problems with his children, and we all, as parents, we know this, when you have problems with the children, it knocks you off track more than anything. And he said that his prayer life's affected, his time with God is affected, and his peace leaves him. And I think we all can understand that when our children perhaps become ill, perhaps rebellious, when they just make poor choices. We live in a world that says we are free to live our lives as we please. No questions asked, no responsibility, no accountability, and no consequences. But we know that is just not true. The Bible tells us that one day we will all stand before God. It says that in Romans 14. We will stand before God and give an account for our lives. What we see happening in our land is the result of the acceptance of anything in the name of freedom, to choose it without accountability. And that's just not true. We are called to be different and to live our lives in a way that shows Jesus to those around us. Now we're going to read some scripture, and it comes from Luke 5, starting at verse 17. But I haven't given you a title for today, and it is People, Situations and Circumstances. People, Situations and Circumstances. We're reading from verse 17. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to push through the crowd to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him, so they went up to the roof, took off some tiles and lowered the sick man down into the crowd, still on his mat, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." "Who does this man think he is?" the Pharisees said to each other. "This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, take your mat, and go home, because you are healed." So if you remember, the title of this is People, Situations and Circumstances. So the situation there was that he was crippled and it stopped him living a full life. And perhaps we've got things in our lives that stop our walk with God. We're not crippled, but it stops us walking close with God, with Jesus. Stops from having the abundant life he wants us to have. So the situation was that this man was crippled. The circumstances was he couldn't get to Jesus. It says that in verse 18. They tried to push through the crowd. Why couldn't they get there? Because people got in the way. People, situations and circumstances. Now the friends of this man didn't give up when they couldn't get through, when the pressure was great. They found another way into the presence of Jesus because they knew that Jesus was and still is the only way to a life of wholeness, purpose, freedom and abundance. And if people, situations and circumstances are stopping us from the abundant life that God has planned for us, are we prepared to do anything and everything to get into the presence of Jesus? It's a choice. We may have to walk away from people who, quite unintentionally, are preventing us from having that close walk with God. We may have to forfeit something in our lives that's important to us. How much are we willing to push through the crowds of things and people that are in our lives that demand our attention and prevent us from going further into the deeper things of God? It has been said that we live by demands when we should live by priorities. So the question must be for each of us, what are the priorities in my life? Now at this point, you're sitting there thinking, what has this got to do with Easter Sunday? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I asked God the same question only a few days ago. What has this got to do with Easter? And I'll tell you what he said to me. Tell my people that the cross has never lost its power. Tell my people the cross has never lost its power. And he confirmed it in a way which was, to me, was amazing. We've recently changed our car, not a new one by any means, but changed it because it's better for us to use. And I've never got around to actually using the CD player, and it just happened to have an opportunity. And I think it was Wednesday, I was dashing out, as I'm always dashing places. And I just grabbed a CD off of the rack just to take with me, and it was the Mandate CD. Now, those of you who went to Mandate a few years ago, remember the awesome times we had, 2,000 men all worshipping together. It was just amazing. But I hadn't played that CD literally for years. So off I went, put it in the CD player, expecting track one to come up, but it didn't, it was track six. And that's called The Power of the Cross. And I thought, Lord, you're telling me something here. It includes the words, "Oh, to see my name written in his wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This is the power of the cross, Son of God slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross." Max Lucado, whose works I just love, his books are wonderful. Max Lucado, in his book, No Wonder They Call Him the Saviour, says this. Someone had asked Max, what really matters, what counts? They said to him, go to the essence, tell me what part really matters. Is this all there is? Sunday attendance, songs, faithful giving? It's nice, but where's the heart of it? And then he says, think about these words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Max then goes on to say, there it is, almost too simple. Jesus was killed, buried and resurrected. The part that matters is the cross. It rests on the timeline of history. Our world has become so distracted from the important things that really matter. And we can, if we're not careful, also be distracted. We start out really well, but over time we get so used to things we get sidetracked and our priorities change. Easter has become really just another holiday in our country, and it's perhaps lost its place of importance. But I believe that today God will ask me to remind you that the power of the cross has never and will never lose its power. On Good Friday, when Jesus died, all seemed lost. Two of the disciples were, it is recorded in Luke, said we had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. They was hopeless. But fast forward 3 days, and the victory was won. But it all started with the cross. No cross, no victory. Jesus laid down his life on the cross. And I wonder what we need to bring to the cross. I wonder what I need to bring to the cross. Things in my life which I know aren't as they ought to be. What are we prepared to lay down and leave at the cross? It might be uncomfortable, it might be inconvenient, but without doing it, we will never move on to a new level of the Christian life. And I believe God would say to us that we have to let go of what's not working and to focus on the amazing work that was done on the cross on our behalf and the power that is available to us. That power is still available to us. Ephesians 1 says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And if you feel distracted and find yourself unable to go deeper into the things of God, remember that at the cross there is power. We've always known that. It's the most basic fact of Easter. But we've become so used to the Easter message that we've lost the truth of the fact that there is an amazing power available to you and I. It always has been and always will be. At the cross, there is power to strengthen you, power to equip you, power to enable you to get your priorities in order, power to heal you, power to take those heavy loads off your shoulders, power to enable you to live the life that's got planned for you. If we feel trapped by a situation that seems impossible to solve, or we have circumstances that overpower us, the good news today is that just as the stone was rolled away from the tomb, so the stone that is in your life, in my life, that stops us living this full abundant life can also be rolled away. And you can live the life God has planned for you to live. We need to get back to recognising and proclaiming the power of the cross, first to ourselves and then to a world distracted, misguided and lied to by Satan. I started by asking what we were prepared to do to go deeper into the things of God. And I'm now going to end it quick this morning by asking the same question. Do we really want to go into the deeper things of God? Well, Easter has always been considered a time of new life, a time of hope. So what about a time to us to resolve to give Jesus back the number one priority place in our lives? I believe that if we do, our lives will be transformed. Our church will be blessed and God's kingdom will be advanced. Amen.